and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening we meditate on the blood of the covenant as a type of Christ. We read the first through the 11th verses of the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus. And he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship afar off. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the ordinances. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. And he rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it upon the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. We come this evening to the third and last of our Lenten meditations on Old Testament types of Christ's passion. Types being events which foreshadow, which point forward to him. In the first of these meditations, we considered the sacrifice of Isaac, especially the words spoken by Abraham in response to the question of his son, "My father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham replies, "God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Words which gaze far into the future, when God himself would send his only son to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then last week, we considered the Passover lamb, which foreshadowed Christ, who is the true Passover lamb, and also the Passover meal in which the Passover lambs were eaten, the Passover supper foreshadowing Christ's holy supper, in which he, the true Passover lamb, is given to be our food. This evening we consider the blood of the covenant. Now, nobody can honestly deny that we live in a broken world, filled with broken people like you and like me, and like all the broken sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race. Had it been possible for the human race to have saved itself, had it been possible for the human race to itself mend its brokenness, that would have been done a very long time ago. But that has not, in fact, happened is proven by what goes on in this broken world and in the lives of us broken human beings every single day. The truth is that God alone can mend the broken world, and God has done just that through his wondrous plan of salvation. Immediately after the fall of our first parents, he promises the one who would mend what is broken, saying to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Long years later, God chose Abraham to be the father of a great nation, a nation which would be God's own chosen people, chosen to be the people from whom would be born the Savior of the world. And after the children of Israel had gone down into Egypt and languished in slavery there for 400 long years, God then delivered them from bondage through his chosen servant Moses, marvelously rescuing them at the Red Sea and leading them to Mount Sinai, where God made a covenant with them, which can be summed up in the words, "I will be your God, and you will be my people." Through Moses, he gave his holy law to the people of the covenant. This evening, we hear the story of how God's covenant with the people of Israel was ratified. Many oxen were sacrificed. And then Moses took a part of the blood and threw it on the altar which symbolized God's presence. Then Moses took the rest of the blood and threw that on all the people. This offering of sacrifice and sprinkling with sacrificial blood showed the need for purification from sin if God and sinful mortals were to be reconciled, made one with one another, established in covenant relationship with each other. Commenting on these events, the author of the letter to the Hebrews wrote, "Under the law of God, everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." While throwing the blood on the people, Moses said, "Behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you. And on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus gave the cup of wine to his disciples and said, "Take, drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." The new covenant, foretold by the prophet Jeremiah when he wrote, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with my people, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." The blood of bulls and goats could only be a symbol of cleansing from sin. And not even the blood of a human being can possibly remove the guilt and the power of sin. Something of even fallen humanity's nagging sense of its need for purification, for reconciliation with God, can be seen in all the animal sacrifices which from earliest times have been offered in all kinds of religions. And yes, in that particularly horrific human sacrifice, such as happened among the Aztecs, when the heart was plucked from the still living body. But no blood of animals or even of sacrificed human beings can remove the guilt and power of sin and make what is broken holy. Only the blood of God Himself can do it that. And you and I and all poor sinners have in fact been purchased by the blood of God. For the Lord Jesus is not only our fully human brother, he is also eternal God, one with the Father from all eternity. Were Jesus not God as well as man, his blood could not have availed for our redemption. But the blood of Jesus works this saving wonder because he is God and man in one person. And the blood of the old covenant foreshadows the truly cleansing blood of the Savior shed once for all on the cross, and now truly given to us in his Holy Supper in a supernatural, divine, and heavenly way. This is an incomprehensible mystery, a mystery which our limited human understanding can never comprehend. It can only be believed because of the true words of Jesus, who is both our Savior and our Maker and God. Following Moses throwing the blood of the covenant on the people, we find that truly mysterious story of how Moses and Aaron, Nathan and Abihu, together with 70 of the elders of Israel, went up on the mountain and there in heavenly vision saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone like the very heaven for clearness, and God did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. Sprinkled with the blood of the covenant, the broken relationship with God mended, forgiveness theirs. Now they could eat and drink in God's presence, experiencing blissful communion with Him. And that mysterious meal of communion on Mount Sinai foreshadows the holy meal instituted by the Lord Jesus on the night when He was betrayed and celebrated on all the altars of Christendom until His coming again, when, no longer in a mystery, we shall in fact experience that blessed communion with our Maker, which in His love He prepared for us before the foundation of the world. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.